This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles, and we're joined by one of our neighbors, Ron Holman, who is the Director of Prevention and Outreach for Sojourn Shelter Services. Ron, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us, if people don't know, what Sojourn Shelter and Services is about.
Sojourn, actually, this year is a 50-year-old organization dedicated to providing safety for someone in danger from domestic violence. We're located here in Springfield. We actually cover 5 counties in Illinois: Sangamon, Logan, Christian, Menard, and Montgomery counties. We have offices in the courthouses in all those counties, but our main shelter is here in Springfield.
Offices in the courthouses, if there's a case, are you available?
One of the services we offer is court advocacy for people fleeing domestic violence. They can go to their local courthouse and there is someone there to walk them through the process to get the paperwork started if they need an order of protection. For example, they'll get all of the paperwork ready, and then at a designated time, they will meet with the judge. It will either be granted or denied, depending upon circumstances. But it provides someone who's already dealing with a traumatic situation a helping hand, someone who's knowledgeable about the process so that they don't have to fret about what's going to happen.
Anxiety producing, if you don't know.
Absolutely.
Do they have to reach out to you, or do you know what the case is and you reach out to them?
Most people call the hotline. We also get hotline calls from local police departments in our 5-county area, and that starts the process. The caller will be helped by a crisis manager. We have someone available to answer the phone 24/7, 365. They talk with the person, find out what's going on. Between the two of them, decide on what is the safer and more comfortable track to head down, and then that starts the process.
What is that crisis number again?
It's 217-726-5200.
217-726-5200. We'll also put that up at nprillinois.org. Somebody should call that if they feel they need to.
Indeed. We have both male and female clients. We can make accommodations at the shelter for either. Plenty of room and no reason not to call.
Besides the services at the court, you also have shelter available if somebody needs to get out of their current living situation.
Yeah, our grants are based on safety, providing safety to a person fleeing domestic violence. The building itself, double locked doors. Windows are way up off the ground. And the building itself, we've got 31 beds. We've got some that are convertible also, so we can hold up to around 36 people at a time.
And that's often parents and children.
It is, yeah. We actually have rooms that we can convert for families as well. Everything from pack and plays for babies to the ability to stack beds and make bunk beds for the kids, which I'm actually kind of envious of because I always thought those were really cool.
That's a hit. Yeah, right.
And then the building itself has a courtyard in the middle that's not accessible from the outside, and so it's a safe place for the kids to play as well.
Are things the same, better, or worse as far as this type of activity goes?
As far as I know, things are at least the same since I started there last year. It seems that things just happen. Sometimes things happen between adults. One party or the other doesn't handle it in the best way. Situations arise. But fortunately for someone who is caught in that situation, they've got a way to escape.
There's an increase in chaos and stress right now in our society. That's one of the reasons I asked if there had been an increase, because I would assume that just makes things more stressful for everybody.
Yeah, at least from my observation, I mean, the organization's been around for 50 years. They saw the need back in the 90s to actually move from a house over by St. John's Hospital to a secure building. I would suppose that might indicate a trend.
There's always a need.
Yeah. There's always a need.
in this building that you have you had to use the sort of defensive nature of it at all? Are there people who show up who shouldn't?
There are, from time to time. There's no way they can get in the building, though, so typically they end up at the front door. We've got 36 security cameras around the building, a big security screen in the office, so it's really easy to monitor what somebody's up to. The Springfield Police Department works with us. Typically, it's less than 5 minutes, and they'll have someone there.
Big project right now that several folks are trying to advance here is mental health care in the community. I believe it's 708 is one of the conversations. Will that help or impact what Sojourn does?
I would hope community-wise, anything like that would be helpful. It seems that when I was a kid, they had places for people with issues to go, and it seemed like it was a more concerted effort community-wise to help someone out if they were having issues. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing at all.
One of the reasons we reached out to you this time was that this is a particular month. It's what month?
February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
And hadn't thought of it that specifically until I saw it, and it's like, boy, it starts at the beginning, doesn't it, sometimes?
It does. Sometimes students, teens, aren't either aware or have the information to really be able to process something that's happening with someone else. One of the things that I do is go into schools and talk to students about healthy relationships. I've also got a upcoming Riverton High School does a parent university. I'll be talking there about healthy relationships and working with your kids to understand exactly what that means and to make sure that they have the knowledge to recognize it if it is happening, to be able to have the courage and self-awareness to actually do something about it to keep themselves out of trouble.
Sometimes teens are pretty good about keeping some privacy.
They are.
How does a parent recognize that some help's needed?
A lot of times it's just being aware of what's happening with their kids, noting a change in demeanor or a withdrawal or a hesitancy that wasn't there before. The other thing that is seemingly difficult sometimes is for parents to be able to offer themselves as a knowledge or a backstop for a child, because as we were all teens at one time, me, it's been a while, but sometimes it's hard to get your kids to talk to you. And the main thing is, if you see a change, is just to open-ended questions are the big thing. Let them do the talking. Offer support. Offer resources. And kind of let them decide on what course they want to take. Unless they're in danger. If they're in danger, then obviously more direct action would need to be taken and calling 911. Teens are more than welcome to call our hotline, the 726-5200 number. If they need somebody to bounce an idea off of or talk to, like I said, there's someone there 24/7, 365.
So if a teen sort of feels like a situation's going beyond too much toward controlling or something else, and they want to reach out and get some perspective by calling 217-726-5200, they can ask a question and
absolutely,
you guys will help out.
Yep.
Parents frequently think it's up to them or maybe them and the school to handle those issues, but Sojourn Shelter and Services can be an additional resource.
Absolutely. And we work with schools. I've got an email broadcast list that right now for February, since it's Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, once a week on red flags that teens should watch out for.
You want to share some of those?
Yeah, and honestly, the main thing is if you're in a situation with someone and it just doesn't feel right or it feels uncomfortable, those are really the most, I guess, directly obvious red flags that a teen could have.
Those can occur way before sexual actions.
Right.
Just relationship actions.
Yeah. The respect level, if you're dating somebody and they're rude to you, or if they are harsh, or if they are trying to coerce you into doing something that you don't want to do, just primary examples, those are pretty good indicators that maybe this guy or girl is not the person you want to be hanging out with.
Tough lesson to learn early when you don't have much experience. So
indeed. The other thing about making students more aware that I think is really important is peer-to-peer influence. When kids know what the guidelines are, they know what their boundaries are, which is one thing that we talk to them about is boundaries and deciding who you are and what kind of person you're going to be, what your limits are, you know, how much crap you're going to take from someone else. But when they, in the school, when they walk out of a classroom after we've spoken, and we have some pretty interesting discussions sometimes talking about relationships, everybody's kind of on the same page. We talk about people that are problems, the chaos that they will bring you along in if they get the opportunity. Also how sometimes people that are born in chaos, because, you know, not everybody has a good home life, they can bring that to school.
That's the baseline for them.
Yep.
Fascinating when you go and speak to these schools and in different organizations. You've given us some of it. Any other key pieces of the information you put out about dating violence?
I guess the main thing when I talk about it is if something doesn't feel right or if something feels uncomfortable, to trust yourself, trust your own judgment. If they've been in the class where we've talked about this, they should have some baseline expectations as well. Gut instinct is there for a reason. I really stress them trusting themselves and their judgment and making the right decisions.
This is Community Voices. We're talking with Ron Homan, the Director of Prevention and Outreach at Sojourn Shelter and Services here in Springfield. They have a hotline you can call if this is going on, domestic violence in your home, teenage dating violence, 217-726-5200. Again, that's 217-726-5200. Don't hesitate if you need it. It was really interesting that you just mentioned for teens in particular, because this is teen...
It's Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month.
Teens can call that number if they have some questions and are feeling uncomfortable and get some advice or some perspective after they've talked with their parents, before they've talked with their parents, however it's needed.
Yeah, or other good resources. I mean, everybody has a favorite teacher that'll take a minute and listen to you and try to offer advice. Your church reverend or pastor or rabbi. You may have a favorite relative, a cousin or an aunt or an uncle that you especially have a kinship with. There's some great organizations here as well. There's other resources besides Sojourn. PCASA, for example, Prairie Center for Sexual Assault. There's a lot of people that are good-hearted and willing to step up and help someone in a situation like this.
it can be difficult at times when someone's feeling uncomfortable, especially when it's maybe the first time they've experienced this, to know what to do. Depending on the severity, how do you recommend a teen? Do they need to remove themselves right away from the situation and cut it off and leave? How do they address it?
The best advice initially is walk away. Absolutely. Find someplace safe just for separation. If you're at a party, get by your friends and let them know what's going on and it's time to leave. Again, it's really a conversation for everyone to have with teens about having the confidence in yourself and having some presence of mind in different types of situations on what to do and how to be safe. You know, at the very least, pull out your phone, call 911. Yeah, everybody's going to raise a stink about it, but what's the point? If there's a teen that's in trouble or in danger, then most likely there's going to be other friends around this person that are going to be in the same situation just by being there. Pulling the trigger, if you'll pardon the phrase, on getting things straight as soon as possible, I think can be pretty critical in a situation like that.
Sometimes things already have happened, assault, etc. Still the same basic process as soon as you're ready or can to call that number.
Absolutely. And reach out.
We're talking with Ron Homan, Director of Prevention and Outreach with Sojourn Shelter and Services. They have a hotline number for both domestic violence and this is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. You can call the hotline if needed, 217-726-5200. Ron, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about this month?
In October, we observed Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is what our organization is based on. The main point of bringing this up and talking about this for us is so that the more information people have at a younger age, even if you're a person who is prone to be the cause of a situation like this, just understanding that how you're brought up, the way the adults around you handle situations is going to be a direct influence on you as you get older. But there are options, and there's different ways of doing things. Hopefully, if someone has become aware of being able to talk to someone or become aware of themselves through sitting through a class or just kind of catching wind of this observation, for example, you know, Teenage Dating Violence Awareness Month, it might cause them to change course. Hopefully prevent a particular behavior that could escalate and make things worse, not only for whoever it is on the other end, but themselves as well.
The way they've come up, they may not realize their actions are inappropriate.
Right.
But there's a possibility if there's intervention early that they might learn and avoid this being a lifelong issue.
Yeah, or just a different point of view in looking at things. This person said something to me. Okay. You know, I don't have to get angry or upset. Or this person feels like he or she isn't as strong as I am, so I'm going to take advantage of them. It's a different way of looking at that. But again, if they know that, well, why am I feeling this way? Or, maybe I should talk to somebody just to know that there's help out there. It's free. It's confidential. They'll talk to them as long as they want. to help them sort through the issue.
I really appreciate you joining us on Community Voices today, Ron. Anything
Thank
else
you
you'd
so
like?
Much.
You're welcome. Anything else you'd like to leave us with?
A few notes about Sojourn. We've got the 24-hour hotline. We've got shelter services for someone that needs them. We're a safe shelter for someone in danger. We have court advocates available during the day at the courthouses in the five counties that we cover. We've got non-residential services for people who may be in a situation but not ready to move yet, that just wants to talk to someone. We've got counseling available that they can call, have a regular scheduled appointment to chat with somebody. And then if there's any teachers out there, I offer my services to come in and talk to your students about healthy relationships.
What's the best way to contact you for that?
That'd be our business line. It's 217-726-5100. Or the website is www.help4dv.org. They can reach me that way as well.
We will post all the contact information on this segment at nprillinois.org. Along with the interview, so you can listen to it again if you need to. Ron Holman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Randy.
We really appreciate the service that Sojourn Shelter and Services is providing for the community.
Thank you.
What does the Community Voices process look like? Well, it starts with trying to identify a good neighbor to talk to or an event that may be interesting that for some folks it may be hard to get to. First, we get that on the radar, figure out when that is going to happen if there is a date involved with it. But more than anything, we depend on you to suggest a guest. By emailing communityvoices@nprillinois.org, we then go into a process of getting in contact with that person, figuring out if there's enough there, which there usually is, to talk about to help us get to know a little bit more about them or what they're working on or an event that's coming up. We have them come into the studios here at NPR Illinois and do an interview. That interview then gets edited and scheduled to air. It eventually comes on the air and then also gets posted at nprillinois.org, where we share it on social media and encourage our guests and you to do so too. If you missed a past Community Voices, go to nprillinois.org right now, and thanks for being part of Community Voices.